You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and wish to welcome Leticia Spence, an artist and designer that I just love her work, and I noticed her Winnipeg Jets Indigenous logo, which is how I found her and wanted to talk to her. Leticia, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. Nancy, my name is Leticia Spence, and I am a graphic designer, illustrator, and artist of sorts, based in Treaty 1, Winnipeg, Manitoba. And I'm originally from Pemiscamak Cree Nation and Opaskwayak Cree Nation, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's really exciting to talk to you. We're going to chat a bit about, you know, kind of when you were younger, but one of the things I want to mention is about where you're from. And I encountered you almost by happenstance, you know, with the Winnipeg Jets logo, and as a team I've liked since I was a kid. And I've never been to Winnipeg, but I've studied like labor history. I'm a labor history guy, so I studied like labor history in Winnipeg, and I like the sports. So it's kind of strange to be able to make this connection with you and with your art and design, and to be able to connect with you in Manitoba. But what I wanted to ask you first is, when you were born, were you an artist when you were born?
I mean, I don't know if I was necessarily an artist. I had a very specific view of the world, though, if that makes sense. And it still kind of persisted with me to this day. I might have just grown into it. But I kind of live my life like I'm living in my own odyssey. And everything, for me, has spirit and magic within it. And when I was small, I used to live in Opaskwayak Cree Nation. And I lived in my granny's house, and my parents, like, a good example of this is, like, when my parents had a potato garden, and I guess I would go around saying things like, I don't know, like, I'm raking Mother Earth's hair, or, like, just small little tidbits, right? So, I've always kind of, like, grown up with, you know, like, my own culture, sort of, like, mythology and stuff like that, and understanding of the world. And it was only until I became, like, a little bit older and realized that there were tools out there that I could use to express that, that I started delving into art. And that really happened, like, when I was probably in elementary, to be honest. So, yeah, that's kind of that.
Yeah. I it's a question I ask a lot of artists. And what I've found recently, it's become really fascinating to find out about just like opportunities or lack of opportunities or expression when you were younger. And, you know, art seems to be kind of like a lifelong process, and those early years seem to speak very loudly to, you know, what happens later on. But it sounds like you felt it, and, you know, your expression, you needed that for your expression. Now, I want to chat with you specifically about the art and the creation and the things that you do, because I've seen some of your design work, I've seen some of your pieces, and of course we mentioned the Winnipeg Jets logo with the just beautiful design that you did of this integrated, you know, I want everybody to see it, but could you indulge us a little bit with about your design work and about that project and how that came about?
Yeah, for sure. So as I said, I have a very specific take on the world, and this is a lot to do with my kind of upbringing. You know, growing up, I've been told that there are mermaids that live up north in a cave, and my grandpa, like, there's like videotapes of my grandpa talking about different kind of like stories about like what we call like mimegosi, or, you know, I guess it would be either the she or fae, in English terms. I don't, although the she is like pretty sure it's Irish, but yeah. So, you know, and also too, like, my family does believe in spirits and in ghosts and that sort of stuff. So like, I've kind of always grown up with that sort of like lens on the world, and it comes out a lot in my art. And so to a certain extent, you know, there is a spiritual aspect to my art and what goes into it. And that certainly came out in the Jess logo, because the symbols for in there are like, there's a kind of like hidden symbols that, you know, historically a lot of our art imbued. And yeah, like for example, I guess one of the symbols would be like feathers and stuff like that. So like in the Jess logo itself, it has like these triangles, but they're meant to be feathers. And then there's like the symbol for home that's like kind of like built into this idea of earth. So that's like the, there's like a tiny little square in that triangle or whatever that makes up a good portion of it. But yeah, so that's kind of like the meaning of it, is that like we're kind of like all tied to this earth. And, you know, like especially with the Jets or whatever, like Winnipeg, Winnipeg loves the Jets. Like,
they do. They do. I mean, oh, I even love them from Oregon. And
that's actually pretty cool. But yeah, like you, if you, for example, like me and my roommate, we took a car co-op, and like you can see that all over the buildings. Like it was definitely like there was like a Go Jets Go or whatever on our way to like the store. So, you know, like it loves. Winnipeg loves the Jets. So, yeah, that's kind of like why I wanted to include those symbols into there, is to create that sense of community and to kind of like bridge, you know, the Indigenous audience, because like Indigenous people also really love hockey. Like my entire family, they are obsessed with it. They sometimes I'll try to call my parents and they'll be like, I'm watching the Jets game. Like, I can't do this. So, you know, like, yeah, so they love hockey. And for me, that's why I took on the project, is honestly because like this is something that they love. And ultimately, like, I'm trying to take on projects that like will speak to either my community or will speak to my family members. Cause
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm deeply interested in some things you said there, but I was just like, I can't even imagine the reaction of your family as Jets fans when you were the one that created that. They must have been like, oh my gosh, I love the Jets, but then you did this. So that must have been a special feeling.
Yeah, for sure. My sister cried. And my sister still habitually cries every time like something comes out. So that's like, it's really touching to me. And same thing with my family in Pimichkamak. And actually a lot of like, there's like stuff from the moose portion of it. And especially like even with the recent edition of the land acknowledgement animation that happened this past Wasak night. Like a lot of it was kind of like inspired by my auntie. Her name was Betsy. She has since passed on, but she used to bead, like she used to do a lot of like beadwork and stuff like that. And as kids, we would always receive, like me and my brother, we'd always receive moccasins, little mitts, like, but they'd have this kind of like these floral patterns, and I absolutely loved receiving them. It was like the one gift that I looked forward to. I think that's because, like, you know, there was just so much, like, beauty within that I found. So, and I also just, as I said before, like, as a kid, I was also very, like, enamored with nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, yeah, they really enjoy it. Sorry.
No, I mean, I wanted to capture that. Sometimes, like, that feeling, the feeling and emotion connected to art. So I wanted to capture that. But we have other questions. I have other questions I'm really interested in asking you. But I actually want to go back just a tiny bit. On this show, when I talk about spirits and ghosts, like, they pop up in this show with my guests and such. So recently I had a guest, Melissa Oliveri, who on her show is a very there are ghosts abound and it's moving back in time. And there's a character who can see things from a different time, very sensitive. And I've had episodes like with Lauren Rhodes, who did a book called Morbid Curiosity Cures the Blues. And it was all about kind of these strange life, afterlife type of stories. So it's a theme that keeps coming up. And I know, number one, it comes up because I'm like kind of obsessed with ghosts and spirits. And number two, I think it's something that artists bump into, or sensitive or creatives bump into. Is that part of maybe why it's been around? I mean, there's a lot of components, but you said you have a particular worldview and you're connecting to different type of energies out there. Is that part of your art? What's that like?
Well, I think at least like, I think, or kind of like maybe my understanding of that and why that may be is like, when you're doing art, you have to tap into something, whether it's like a stream of consciousness or whether it's like, for me, growing up, I used to call it the golden moment, but it's when I would tap into like a very like a flow state kind of, or a sense of euphoria. And like oftentimes I would just like struggle to get it down on a paper as soon as I possibly could before the thought kind of passed, went away or somewhere else or whatever, right? But like I think as artists we might be maybe a bit empathetic, and you kind of have to be, right? You kind of have to be very observant when you're creating art. And so like you know maybe people do like tap into that energies or allow themselves to tap into that energies. For me, what I sort of notice is that like, yeah, like a lot of people that kind of like embrace like a wide spectrum of what the world looks like, including spirits, they're often very creative individuals, and that comes out in their art as well. So yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah. Thank you for your comments too, because I'm trying to tap into it. Part of the show is, as I've talked to everybody, and while I ask the same big questions, like I'm just a student learning. So each episode I do, I've learned more, so I'd be able to refer back. So it's a great, so I appreciate you and what you contribute. Big question. I wanted to get one of the big questions in right here is what exactly is art? What is art?
For me, as I said, like I often get, kind of like ideas, they just sort of pop up in my head and I need to like get it out. And for me, a lot of times like art is a way to kind of like process what's going on up there. And a way to kind of like process the, you know, like maybe like what is happening to me externally, which I then internalize and then push out externally as well. You know what I mean? So for me, like it's a way to kind of, you know, express yourself, but also a way to learn, a means to learn for myself, because I actually really like researching. I love researching.
I do like, too. I love yeah. researching too. Yeah.
It's like my favorite thing probably about my process as like a designer is doing that research, because I feel like with each and every project that I take on, I'm learning like a new, or I'm discovering a new lens of the world, right? And kind of like what that looks like from other people's perspective, and, you know, seeing what it all is. Like, 'cause if, you know, if I didn't do that, then, and if I didn't learn from people, and I feel like art can also be that too. It's a way to kind of like see, I guess, like what the world looks like, you know, like, 'cause no artist has the same style as the next person over. You know what I mean? We all have very different expressions because that's, we look at the world differently. And so, you know, it's a way to kind of like learn something beyond your own eyesight, if that makes sense. I don't know. Does that make sense?
it makes a lot of sense. And even if it didn't, it isn't a criteria on this show. Sense isn't a criteria on this show. It can't be. The show's named Something Rather Than Nothing. So no, it does make sense. So you talk about art. Well, another question I have related to that is, what is the role of art? Like, right? You make art and that's your process, but like, what's art supposed to be doing in the world?
You know, I was actually thinking about this one. And, you know, I had heard something in a previous podcast before, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. So that's why I'm really thrilled to be like, finally doing.
You're
like,
the star. You're the star of this episode.
I'm so excited. This is like really, really cool to me. I don't know. But yeah, so I listened to a podcast though, and it was like, I also like astrology. So it was like an astrology related podcast, but one of the hosts, and this is like from Stars on Fire, I believe, but she said something that like has always stuck with me, and it's maybe been like a couple of months, but it was just, it captured how I feel about like what roles like art kind of plays in our lives and in our existence. But it was, art is the first thing that frees your mind and forces you to dream bigger. In order to deal with your anger, your grief, and your rage, you must create something beautiful around you. And that's really what I think art is. It's a way to kind of like process your emotions, and what's happening, especially, and you can even see that right now, you know, in a time where there's a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion and a lot of fear. I feel like a lot of people are kind of like expressing that through art. And that's why it's so pivotal for moments like this, to be able to do that. So that's kind of like how, what I think art is. Like even before the pandemic, it was very much so that, like for myself at the very least, like whenever I felt like I had a lot of inner turmoil, the way that I would kind of work through that was to draw something, to paint something, to get it down onto my screen, you know? So yeah, that's kind of what I think art is. And it's also like a point, a way to kind of like, I guess, this is going to sound weird, but a way to make things pretty, a way to beautify your world.
Yeah.
And a way to kind of like paint it with your own colors and kind of like make it look the way that you want it to look.
Not a bad inclination in a sometimes dirty world, right?
Yes, and that's important, right? Like we need that, because if you know, and I was talking to a couple of my friends about this, but like if we didn't have art, like the world would just be so bleak and desolate, and I don't know if
it's tough to fathom, right?
It's
tough
it's really
to fathom what it would be. Yeah, yeah. We're speaking with Leticia Spence, and going back, again, encountered Leticia's design work with the Indigenous logos for the Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose. Lest I forget, I should not forget the Manitoba Moose, and does design in a lot of different art. And one of your recent comments, you were talking a little bit about, you know, the pandemic and the recency and how, like, you look around the world, people are in different spots of it, like deep in the crisis that we remember, and others are like, it's summertime, right? And there's been so much change. I found that the pandemic itself was so big that I couldn't even remember in the podcast. I thought I've always done the podcast in the pandemic. It almost like swallowed it up, but I had done many episodes prior to it. And it was just so big. I just, in my head, it was like, now the podcast is coming out of the pandemic. Maybe, you know, it's just a very strange, enormous experience, I think, that creatives, are coming out of.
Sure.
And in where we are today. All right. So one of the questions kind of goes back to a little bit kind of where you come from. It doesn't have to. The question is, what or who made you who you are?
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah, like I kind of discussed or touched on it, right? Like my family members, we have a very, like I come from an Indigenous background. I'm Cree. From both sides. And like you know, being an Indigenous person within Canada is pretty interesting, because, and maybe just in general, But oftentimes, as a result of colonization, you know, I've grown up with a kind of like a dual religion, so to speak. So obviously, like most of my family, they're Christian to some degree, Anglican or otherwise. But they also still tap into Native spirituality with that same brush, which has always been interesting. As I said, I grew up hearing about a bunch of different stories that happened, you know, within their own families or within their own real life experiences that take on a very spiritual nature. My family believes a lot in their dreams and kind of like interpreting that. And actually a lot of my artwork comes from that space as well. So it comes from two places. Like sometimes, like, as I said, an idea hits me and I'm like, oh, I need to get that out somehow. Or I dream about something and I, you know, rush to kind of like get it down. I would say definitely my family and kind of like that upbringing, but also too, like, I had a very strong mother figure. Like, my mom is the toughest person that I know. Like, she is very ambitious, determined, but also very curious, you know? And I feel like for myself, like, you know, I kind of maybe took on those characteristics or traits, obviously my own expression of that. But she kind of saw, like, I think, as I said, like, I didn't necessarily have the tools when I was young, because I mean, you know, dexterity and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But she saw that, like, I think in elementary school that this was something that I liked to do, which was drawing. Also, too, like, I got a couple scholarships for, like, the Winnipeg Art Gallery to go there as a kid, because I lived in the inner city. And I think, I lived in the inner city and they were like, yes, send this kid to art classes. So she saw that though, and she really ran with it. And she kind of always did that throughout the rest of my childhood. She was always kind of like encouraging and supporting my hobbies in that sense. I think that's largely what kind of shaped me. Also my circumstances though as well. Like, as I said, I lived in the inner city. And so I grew up at different points in my life in a state of poverty. So I was definitely not someone who came from money. Let's start with that. Within my family, there was also, you know, addictions at certain points. As I said, like, art is a way to process and a way to kind of work through that. So that's the kind of tools that I utilize to sort of make things manageable for myself.
Yeah, so. And thanks for that too, because I can personally, you know, connect with, you know, growing up in the city, and you know, there's you know, there's struggling, you know, struggling. Everything was a struggle, most of the struggle, and also some of the things, some of the influences, in the family. I was wondering about a question very particularly about that. I've asked artists about, like, when they're younger in the environment, obviously focused on that. But I'm always a little bit worried or interested in what goes on in a kid in the city, right? Because in the working class, right, you think about the dynamics of, like, what use is art when you need bread, right? Like, what use is, like, the Van Gogh book that fancy kid has when you're, like, you're hungry? Right. So there's this, like, great gravity and weight for within that environment. Do you think that the art has to shine through, or it does shine through? Because it can be a tough climate for art for good reasons. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think for myself, Like, I know that's a funny question, just because, like, it is, it's very true. Like, if you don't have money, which I did not have, buying supplies like canvas or paints or what have you was honestly very challenging. And I had to rely on what was provided to me either through school or, you know, just not do that and just use pencil and paper and whatever I had, you know, in my own space. But, you know, I think for myself, at the very least, I always saw art. And like my mom would tell me this too, but I like kind of saw it as a way out of that and a way to break past those barriers for myself. Because yeah, like I, at the end of the day, I was like, well, I'm good at this. I think, I think I'm pretty good at this. And this might be a way to kind of, move beyond this. Right.
Yeah.
Because you know, for the longest time that was how I lived. Like, even like within my 20s, like I, a good example is like, I would have to like often like pawn things off just to get money for like anything. Right. So, that's kind of like why I like digital art or doing digital art now, because you can just do it on your computer that you already own versus like going to an art store to buy paints. Like I am a paint night leader of sorts. That is one of my things.
We need you
to lead this paint night. But I do that every once in a while, and you know, buying paints, like even acrylics, like that's mad expensive. Like I dropped $100 and I kind of like, you know, so it's expensive. But yeah, getting back to the point though, I think it's important or whatever, especially like, as you said, like it's a hard life. It can be a hard life when you don't have money or don't have access to these sort of like these materials or things. But I do think it's important to kind of beautify your world so that it, you know, you can see the light amongst all of that, if that makes sense. I don't know.
And you know, and the thing is too, it's obviously like a bigger topic, because I think sometimes it's tough to talk about, like, since my show covers so many different type of arts, and you think about economics and you think about access, I always try to mean like really sensitive to it, because like sometimes a piece of cardboard might be a luxury, you know, like in wherever you are. I mean, the world is very different. And so an artist always, like, you know, they find a way. But I become very interested in the questions of, you know, people with exceptional development and where they are and do they come in contact with the materials, just discovering our kind of creative capability and when it happens and what are the things that kind of dampen that, and like, let's get rid of that shit. You know, like, let's like try to figure out, like, you know, let's think more rainbows.
yeah, for sure.
Sorry for the soapbox, but I want
no, it's okay.
If you get on a soapbox and you call for rainbows, nobody can criticize you. That's my theory. got a big question for you. Why is there something rather than nothing?
Well, this was something that I struggled with, but like, I would say, like, at some point, we did start from nothing, but obviously the universe, our existence and our outlook on life and what this all means, has expanded over time. So the earliest evidence of that kind of like expanding a perspective and stuff like that, is art. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
it does, because like it's the funniest greatest question, and like just kick it around, and it means so many different things. And professional philosophers must hate that I ask it outside the academy, but that ain't gonna stop it. No, I really enjoyed your answer, Leticia. I wanted to give you some space, some open space, maybe to talk about like what you got going on, where to find your art, whether we're talking online, physical, it's different everywhere. I don't know what's going on, but could you tell us?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't say that here, but I will say it now. I have recently decided to be an independent graphic designer. So I am opening that up. And so I had to clean up my like Instagram because like there was just like a bunch of random stuff from like school on there, school projects. So I have redeveloped it, but you can find me, or my Instagram handle is LASpence_. And I also have a website, Leticia Spence at my portfolio. It's just like an Adobe portfolio website for right now. But as I said, like I've only recently gone completely full-time freelance. So yeah, like we're still developing things, but you can find me on those two platforms.
And thanks. I know there's one favor I guess I'm going to publicly ask you. I have a something rather than nothing sticker, and I want a something rather than nothing sticker in Winnipeg, if possible.
Yeah,
I'll send
sure.
it out to you.
Please do. That'd be awesome.
I'm not saying you have to put it on, you know, the locker room door of the Jets or anything. That's, I don't want you to get. Oh, well, thanks for the ways to reach you. And it sounds like you kind of reinventing a little bit, showing a little bit more of your independent design stuff, which, gosh, like, you know, I hope everybody listening, they're interested in that, to jump in on that. Yeah, I might be very interested myself. So it's great to hear about your work. Oh, man, it's so cool.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.